Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, as St. Paul would say. I often hear people say, here's hoping all goes well. Or they say, I hope so. It can refer to a dinner party, or it can refer to a doctor's visit, or a national conflict, or even someone says it to us. I hope goes well. Because this morning I speak of hope, Advent hope. We light the second candle in the Advent wreath, where some churches call it the hope candle. We live in an age where hope can be in short supply. With violence in schools and on streets, floods and false claims, I think we need hope. Hope is the focus of the second Sunday of Advent. It's nurtured by us by keeping the vision of the prophets alive, in our heart, in our mind, in our doing, in our believing. Advent hope is an alternative to waiting and watching and preparing, as we often hear at this time of the year. But without adequate hope, we're inadequately prepared to live this life as God wants us to live. Without an adequate hope, we're not surely prepared to deal with the world's problems of conflict and hatred. Without an adequate hope, a vision of the glorious realm that God calls us to be and to do, to live in peace and harmony under Christ's realm. Advent hope can keep those prophets' visions alive. By remembering all that God has done for us, realizing that God is doing in us and through us, as well as what we do for God and in doing for God. To be sure, there are plenty of folks who have hope. But the question is, where or with whom they place their hope? Is it in one place, one person, one nation? God's people believe hope is in God, the one who comes to us at Christmas time. Just listen to a few verses of Scripture that declare our God is the God of hope. Psalm 40:33. May your faithful love rest on us, Lord, for we put our trust in you. We put our hope in you. It's also found in Jeremiah and Zephaniah, or Isaiah 40. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soak up wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. Or from Psalm 147, the Lord delights in those who put their hope in his unfailing love. So this morning, I speak of hope, Advent hope, that comes in Jesus the Christ. And even though Isaiah's words were written 700 years ago, before Jesus, out of this foundation of the prophets and Jesus' life, the Apostle Paul believed that God's hope is with us. When he wrote, may now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Last week, the Apostle Paul asked the congregation to put an army of God's light. This Sunday, I think the Apostle Paul is saying to us, put on hope in the Lord. For this is truly needed for us 21st century Christians, don't you think? We need the good news to hear, to make us feel happy and be joyful, to receive God's grace in the celebration we're about to embark. In many ways, we even hear it in the message from John the Baptist. The good news comes to us in repentance, repenting of our sins and wrongdoings, and trusting and believing in God's promise. As 21st century Christians, we know we only have 4 weeks to prepare for Christ's birth, just so much time allotted to preparation. We know when to expect this festival, because centuries ago, Pope Julius I set and declared the 25th of December, while the Roman Empire celebrated a Saturnalia feast. You and I celebrate Christ's birth on the 25th of December because of that decree. And even though we don't know the exact date of Jesus' birth, or when he will come again. We hear that Christ's reign will overflow with the knowledge of God with us, Emmanuel. The content of Advent hope is not just pinned to the birth of Jesus, not the birth of Jesus long ago. Or Advent hope also looks to the Advent when Christ will come again. Because we hear in that first reading, the hope, the wolf will lie with the lamb, a little child will lead them. It's a vision of Isaiah. The full reign of Christ will establish the kingdom of peace and righteousness and justice and mercy and love. And every year I say to us, we wait for God's hope and peace this year. Here's my favorite metaphor for the Advent season. On the roof of a church in New York City, there's a figure of the angel Gabriel, his horn lifted to his mouth, ready to go out with a mighty blast to announce the second coming of Christ in glory. Day after day, he stands there at the ready, warmed by the summer sun, frozen by the winter sleet. Year after year goes by, but there's no mighty blast, not even a tentative toot. Below him are the streets of the city, crawling with traffic, engaged, edged with apartment houses and businesses, also harboring death and birth, love and conflict, a thousand shattered dreams between dawn and sunset each year. The figure of the angel Gabriel stands high above the streets of New York City. He raises his horn, lifts his lips. But when you think of it, it's not so ridiculous or irrelevant. Think about that figure standing there on the rooftop of that church, high above the city of New York City. Day in and day out, year in, year out. But even without a mighty blast, God's peace promises to come. God's will come. God's love will prevail. And God's hope will come to us. Now imagine you will, supposing you put an angel Gabriel on your roof, with this angel with his mighty blast, standing over with his horn, ready to shout out. It seems to me it promises that God's going to come again in Christ. But it promises us that we need to go out and shout the good news of God's love and God's hope and God's joy. Aren't we that sound that goes out? Aren't we that noise and music that goes out into the world, shouting God's love and peace and joy? No wonder the Apostle Paul could say, "May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Now notice, in Paul, hope is faith written in the future. That means hope is informed by the content of what we believe. It has roots, it has substance, it has promise. I remember that Edmund Steinle taught us in Philadelphia Seminary. He said, hope is faith written in the future, informed by the content of what we believe. It has roots, his substance, his promise. If faith is the description of our relationship to God in the here and now, and utter dependence upon God, God's grace, then hope is the utter dependence upon God and God's grace in the future. And I suggest to you that we celebrate this hope every time we come to Holy Communion and receive it. For Christians, hope is not simply wishful thinking, where all turns out well for the good guys. Christian hope is truly informed, shaped, and filled by the content of our faith. It doesn't get us out of the trouble. It rather pours us back into the struggle of life, and here day and the next. But there's always a promise. God is with us, Emmanuel, hoping us, helping us to reflect God's love. Because God does reign, and God will come in Jesus Christ once again. So we can say, Amen, Alleluia, to God's hope. Amen.